This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
In a few minutes, should the next president worry about the future of money? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Presidential primary voters will go to the polls in Hawaii, Idaho, Mississippi, and Michigan today. As for Michigan, here's a stark number. 14.9%. That's how high unemployment reached in that state in 2009 as the Great Recession swept through. Detroit, already a mess, descended further. Even as parts of Michigan are now thriving, economic issues will remain front and center for voters today. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
The recession made Michigan synonymous with economic devastation, the auto industry bailout, bankrupt cities. But it's bounced way back, says economist Charles Ballard at Michigan State.
We've added about 450,000 jobs, and that has brought down the unemployment rate to about 5%.
The big three automakers are booming again, though with fewer workers making less money. Ballard says it's not your granddad's blue-collar union card state anymore.
John Kennedy, when he campaigned in 1960, he had to march in Detroit on Labor Day. Now we've got a lot of tech and IT, business services of all sorts.
But Alan Berube at the Brookings Institution says one thing hasn't recovered.
Middle-class jobs accessible to people without much more than a high school education.
And that's left deep poverty and unemployment among minorities in cities like Detroit and Flint. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's check the numbers. The 100 share index in London is down 0.8%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in a similar range, about 0.7% there. U.S. Treasuries are up with the 10-year yield down at 1.84%. Now, one of the top economic and political stories in Europe for 2016, the British vote this summer about whether to leave the European Union. The UK's Janet Yellen equivalent, Mark Carney, head of the Bank of England, dropped some broad hints today that the UK might be better off if it stayed in the Union. BBC business reporter Russell Padmore is following this for us.
The Bank of England politically is supposed to be impartial. Mark Carney, the governor of the Bank of England, did write a letter to the UK Treasury saying that membership of the European Union has been reinforced, and I quote here, by the dynamism of the UK economy. So it did appear on the face of it that he was backing to stay inside the European Union.
Now, it is also complex when you take a look at that powerful organization there, Britain's Chamber of Commerce. They have decided not to take a position on Brexit. Yet, what happened yesterday?
Well, we had the former head of the British Chambers of Commerce leader, John Longworth, effectively, was forced to resign. He had come out and actually been quite strident, saying, quote, Britain would be in a much brighter situation outside the European Union. We've had an example. We get surveys all the time, I should say, and we do get the impression that smaller businesses want to leave the European Union. The debate will continue right around until the referendum in June, though.
All right, June 23rd. The BBC's Russell Padmore, thank you for this.
David, thanks.
Now the next installment of our election year series about ways for the U.S. to get serious about long-term opportunities and threats, the ones that don't fit into a single federal budget or a single election cycle. The late writer and social critic Kurt Vonnegut offered the following idea during an interview I did with him on public TV.
Look, I'll tell you, it's one thing that no cabinet had ever had is a secretary of the future. And there are no plans at all for my grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
Should the next president appoint a secretary of the future to consider how today's actions might play out in 20 or 50 years? This campaign season, we're taking suggestions about what a secretary of the future might keep an eye on. Today, Financial innovations like digital currency, mobile money, peer-to-peer lending, and crowdfunding, these are opportunities and challenges for the future economy, as Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports.
Emerging financial innovations could bring good, ill, or some spooky cocktail of both.
It's definitely exciting because it could transform the way people make payments. It could transform the way people get credit. But whenever there's anything new, there's always something that can be a little bit challenging with it. Like with icebergs, it's not what you can see that can kill you, but it's what's below the water level. It's what you can't see that can sink the ship.
Randall Krosner has been on the bridge of America's economic ship as a Federal Reserve governor during the worst of the crisis. Now a professor at University of Chicago's Business School, he says new financial technologies, if they become much more popular, could make life tougher for his successors at the Fed.
If people find that it's very convenient to use these alternatives and prefer to use them a lot, that could start to pose some challenges.
Many financial technologies, from peer-to-peer lending to digital currencies like Bitcoin, move activities outside the traditional banking system into places the Fed can't as easily see or influence with its current tools. Think of the Fed as delivering a message to a crowded room. Today it talks, and the banking system hears it. But in a future where more people do business outside traditional banks, it's like the audience the Fed needs to reach would be wearing noise-canceling headphones.
At this stage, it's so small that it's not having an important effect, but it is something you have to think about for the future.
The Fed and all of America's regulators may have to adapt. Charles Whitehead is a former banking attorney and Cornell professor who thinks new financial technologies could get big enough to have real impact. It helps if you think about money as literally liquid.
Water tends to flow to the lowest point. Finances tend to flow to the lowest transaction costs, the cheapest way of getting money transferred, the cheapest way of doing business.
And that's one reason those technologies are growing now. In decades to come, they just might get big enough to totally rewrite the rules of the whole economy, which is why they definitely should be on the agenda of a secretary of the future. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
If the next administration did pick up on Mr. Vonnegut's idea of this secretary of the future, what would you personally put on her or his agenda? Tweet your ideas to hashtag Secretary Future. Marketplace.org has the reporting here. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Beatty Jong. Our engineer this week, Jake Gorski. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.